I've never minded flying, unlike my poor daughter, who has to be pretty heavily medicated before she can be got onto an aeroplane. But I've never minded, perhaps because I flew such a lot when I was a young child and had an itinerant childhood in foreign parts. There's just one bit I don't really like much, and that's the bit when you go through the cloud. You take off, you see the runway and the airport buildings, and then the houses and the landscape shrink below you, and sooner or later, unless it's a very clear day, you're into a cloud. And it gets a bit bumpy, and you can't see anything. Then you come out through the cloud into that sunlit landscape above the weather. But the bit in the cloud I don't like. So I sympathise entirely with the disciples in this morning's gospel. We're told that while Peter was speaking, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified, sore afraid in the old version, as they entered the cloud. And while they might be, because this is no ordinary cloud, this is not simply a meteorological phenomenon, this is surely a rather special cloud. The cloud, by the way, is unique to Luke's telling of the story. No cloud in Matthew or in Mark, but here, the cloud and the disciples going into the cloud. The cloud is surely the same cloud that we also find in Luke alone, the cloud into which Jesus disappears at his ascension. And it is surely the same cloud that covers Mount Sinai when Moses goes up to speak directly to God and to receive the Ten Commandments. This is a cloud that simultaneously conceals and reveals the glory of God. It's terrifying because the holiness and the glory are in the cloud, and yet you can't see them because of the cloud. It is what the Christian mystical tradition came to call the cloud of unknowing. And it tells us something very profound about the nature of God and our capacity to know God. God is creator, unbounded, infinite. No created being, no human mind or heart can grasp God, nor ever will be able to grasp God. God that I shall, for convention's sake, continue to call He in this address, but part of the ungraspability is that God is beyond all human gendering, at the same time as God includes in God's self all human gendering, goes beyond and sums up all. That God is not knowable in the end by any of us fully and completely ever. In eternity, we shall, as Paul says in his wonderful passage to the Corinthians, behold the glory as though reflected in a mirror, and will be transformed into the image of it from one degree of glory to another. But because God is infinite, never completely graspable or knowable by any created thing, even in eternity, our experience of eternity must be one of endless growth, endlessly and wonderfully understanding more, learning more, seeing more, being transformed more by what we see, in a process that must be infinite, because it can never be exhausted, because our human mind can never, even in final and risen glory, completely grasp the wonder of God.